I smoke blunts with ya, see your picture. Now they want to grab the guns and come and get ya. It's the ones that smoke blunts with ya, see your picture. Now they want to grab the guns and come and get ya. One time for the homie DJ Screw. Already. I'm feeling throwed in this bitch.
I'm so high even when I'm coming down. Just met a girl, say she from the H-Town. I say my name is Drizzy, and ain't nobody realer. Cup inside a cup, smoking ghost face killer. Got these boppers going crazy, nigga, I'm the man. I sent your girl a message, said I see you when I can. She sent me one back, but I ain't never read it. Cause pussy's only pussy, and I get it when I need it. And I'm
telling you I'm cold as winter down in the winter. And I be riding rims with my ties in the thinner. Airports done, flying charters overseas. Full of Dom Perignon in the water for the D's. Don't know why it happens every time we're alone. But here we are again, and I swear I'm in my zone. So I'ma sip this drink until that motherfucker gone. Then you gon' get undressed, and we gon' get it on.
I don't give the time you deserve from me. This is something I know, I know, I know. So tonight I'll just fuck you like we're in Houston. Taking everything slow, so slow, so slow. But I do it to her.
Draped up, dripped out, know what I'm talking about. 3 in the morning, getting popping in the parking lot. It's on once again, and I never pretend. A nigga staying G to the end.
Ay. Ay. Yeah. Yeah. I swear, like, every time we find ourselves in a situation, you know. I just get that feeling like I'm in Houston. Candy paint switching colors in the light. It's about like 11 p.m. Nigga just rolling through the city. Bumping that Screw. Big Mo. UGK. Lil Kiki. I feel like, everything just moving slow. Let's take my time. I pace it, baby. Yeah. I'm gone.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to our show. You're listening to Screen Girls on Air on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasted out of beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Christina.
And we're still dealing with a little bit of a flu situation right now. You just heard the Kygo remix of Coldplay's Midnight. Their album's dropping soon. It's said to be their last one. And before that, we had a classic, Ian Pooley featuring Estero with Balmes, A Better Life. And to kick it off, we had to play the title track for the day, November 18th by Drake. And I can't believe it's November 18th. The last week has been kind of a haze, I think, for us.
A big haze. A big...
Someone's been medicated.
Sick.
Through it all.
Yes. But it's near the tail end. I've never had a cold last this long. It's been over a week, but I don't know. They're saying the flu this time around. I don't know. It's flu season, everyone, and it seems to be sticking around a lot longer. But... yeah, definitely stayed home and rested and got to watch some movies. I think it kind of forces you to slow down. But we watched Inside Out.
Yeah.
It's a Pixar film, right?
Pixar? It is a Pixar film. I know Christina watched it first, and it's kind of uncommon, I would say, for you to suggest a movie.
I don't watch a lot of... I read about stuff. That's what I do. I don't watch movies. I don't watch TV. But I'll read about episodes of things. So when Sarah wants to have a conversation about something, I've read something on it. And so I can sort of carry a conversation. But it's very rare. Very rare that I ask Sarah to watch a certain movie.
Especially, you know, a cartoon Pixar movie, right?
Yeah, so. It was just... I ended up watching it, and I loved it. If you've seen it, you definitely know why. TJ's watching it tonight, isn't he?
Oh, is he? Is that what he said? So, basically, it's a movie about a girl named Riley, and she's, they describe her as a happy, hockey-loving, 11-year-old Midwestern girl. But her world turns upside down when she and her parents move to San Francisco.
And so... you follow Riley's story, but through some of her inside emotions, like joy, disgust, anger, and sadness. And who plays who?
Amy Poehler plays Joy.
The voice of.
Yes. And Mindy Kaling plays disgust. Super, like, girly disgust. And...
sassy.
Yes. Very sassy. And... I think the person who played Phyllis, I'm going to double check this right now, but Sadness was by far my favorite character.
Yeah,
I thought she was
adorable.
I thought she was so funny.
The characters really embodied their emotions. So Joy was like the protagonist and saving the day and the leader, and she could do anything. And Sadness was... stumpy and sad and down and sounded a lot like how I do with my cold. But they go on this crazy adventure, all her emotions and...
yes, it was Phyllis Smith.
Nicely done.
And she was totally Phyllis, like Phyllis from The Office. I mean, Phyllis from The Office was a freak. Like, her and her husband, Bob, like, she was a freak. But she had that, like, sadness, like, voice.
That sadness
really
quality
funny.
That
yeah.
Sadness has. It's a good. Really amazing movie. I think it really helps kids understand and explain their emotions a little bit. You know, what it's like to feel joy and sadness, and what it's like to feel this at the same time. It was such a well-done movie.
What I really liked was the memories. So they have all the memories as balls. And
like
there's just, like, this, like, yeah,
marble like lined on the shelves.
Oh, it was so good.
Endless maze of them.
I think everyone should watch it.
They vacuum up memories that aren't important.
They do.
They're just like, she doesn't need this anymore. Yeah, we're doing the spring cleaning. Whoosh. Like, vacuum up some shit, and you're like,
it's good.
And so you see Riley just like, you see she just suddenly forgets something. I don't know.
So what else have we been up to?
Watched some Netflix.
Yes.
I did some Netflix and chill.
Well, I mean, with your, like, NyQuil, maybe, or whatever you've been taking, your ginger.
Yeah, I'm a naturalist.
Mm-hmm.
Been on that ginger kick. Potent ginger water.
We've
watched a documentary, The True Cost. Sarah's going to watch it soon. We're going to talk about that one probably next week. But I'm not someone who usually sits and watches Netflix. So it was been kind of a trip.
And I've been watching Master of None with Aziz Ansari. And I thought it was really interesting. He definitely portrays Indians in a very, like, normal American, him and his friend.
He's still somewhat geeky, though.
Yeah.
He's still that Indian geeky stereotype. He's an American geek, though, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Big Bang geeky.
No, no.
Like Raj Cooper. I'm not gonna try and get that name.
So check that one out, Master of None, and tweet us at the Screen Girls and let us know what you think. I think I've got a few episodes left, but I feel like I'm not going to get to them for a minute. But for right now, we've got Somewhat Brand New Future. This was released last week. It's going to be on the soundtrack of Creed, the upcoming film. Here he is with Last Breath.
I was so hard-headed at first. My grandma didn't even believe in me. I kept going, though. All I can say is I told you. Jury at the bank now in the vault. You should have never doubted me. I'ma work to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. Yeah, yeah. Now you should have never doubted me. The pain and the struggle followed me. My daddy never not bothered me. And these cold streets made a man of me. Through a time it'll come, they doubt me. Had to keep them OGs around me. Keep a young, young homie grounded. You never know where your motivation to come from. We do the most with these bras and pops undone. They try to push you beside, you gotta fight some. I had a line on the thigh, and now we ride guns. I want that number one spot, I'm like Icon. I got that beast in my eyes, I'm like Tyson. With my heart and my drive, I know I'm righteous. Keep some ice in me, rocky like bad boy. Once you win, you gon' want more. Set a tree and need an encore. I was down on my last when I found myself. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I came from the quarter waters. Every nigga in my gang unemployed. You fuck around, you must want a gang war. I got a old girl and a transporter. Trapping is a habit, I got Zans on me. I'm riding in the flame, keep the fan on me. Catch me whipping the Mustang with them bands on me. I'ma kill the competition and I'm playing for keeps. You see water dripping off me, damn kitchen. I turn nothing into something, now I'm living. You neglected me, you know you shouldn't have did that. They was counting y'all, you know you shouldn't have did that. You didn't recognize my drive, shouldn't have did that. Now I'm fighting every day, I won't get back. I just wanna be the champ for the misfits and the one that was saying I couldn't do it. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I'll be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. Who knew I would take it to a whole nother level? Who knew I would race it with the heart of a rebel? Shot of one checking for me, mama one checking for me. I hustle every day just so I can spend a check on you. You my dog to the end, I got so much respect for you. I watch you give up on me, but I never lost faith, did I? You didn't ever hold me down, and I bought a new safe, didn't I? Paper plates flushing in their wraith, didn't I?
I'm built with a new reputation. Blood, sweat, and tears in my new foundation. Obama on my main line, I can run the nation. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I'll be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'm a hustle to my last breath. I got tears in my eyes. My dream's all I got and I'll die for it. If I love it with a passion, I'ma ride for it. I was so hard-headed at first. My grandma didn't even believe in me.
To block this hustle. Despite the ball that is happening, never shook up the flow. Eyes on me, let you curve without compromising myself. Three figures for now, enough to ruin my health. It's the Popeyes on West End when I kick it with Hezzy. Hella stingy with fries, and we keep going back. Let summer work at a camp, had me 4 8 to 4. Been home most of the summer, and I already made more. Forget being realistic, I promise there's no limit. Flexing on the legs, a gentleman getting wicked. Making bucks, not raking tons. I rake enough to take a lot. Start kissing up, get off my nuts. I don't support riding the wave like you getting paid. These rappers not about it. I do this all day. I do it my way. Not about school, not about grades. 16 music shows what I ate. Not even phased. I'm getting paid.
Yeah. Ow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a mixtape by Club on the Second. I am your host, Cola, of Wife Taker, the OBGN. It's a West End thing, it's a game. Check, let's get into this music. Yo, I'm too sexy for 9 to 5. Man, I got it from grip to switch to nightlife. Me and my clique be sipping my ties. Getting pure chips like wealthy white guys. Almost famous, no doubt I could taste it. So toast to haters who twist up their faces. All y'all lames need to up your game. I get out rhyme y'all chumps, y'all get slumped the same. Rep the west side every chance I get. Done no western road, stay lit. From Edel to Ave, the killer Lawrence down to Jane Strip. Rexdale, Jane and Finch, the same ish. Funny how lace fronts just came and went. Hoes with hairlines pushed back, it's hilarious, right? Look, I never really care if I'm like, just so long as my appearance is tight. Wife taker, you should know that it's called a corral. And on the pop lock and drop tracks as well. Steady plotting, man, the whole crew mob is just ride around and getting it from spring to the autumn. Wintertime, I'm laid up in the cut, chilling, hibernating with my hands on my nuts. It ain't slacking if my Mac game is up, and that's probably why these lames can't touch and they suck. So what's up? Yeah.
excuse performance. Marsden is a British Columbia-based visual artist who's an editor, a professor at Quest University and SFU. Her works use performance, video, photo, and text. And we most recently saw her film with Karen Lam, The Pit, A Study in Horror, as part of the Scary exhibit at the New Media Gallery at Anvil Center, and that was curated by Sarah Joyce and Gordon Duggan. And we were really, really drawn to the film because it uses no actors, but it still evokes such a feeling of suspense, and I think that really stayed with us as we moved around through the exhibit. So we are lucky enough to have Lauren today on the show with us. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
So without characters, scripts, and plot, The Pit, A Study in Horror, creates a sense of fear and a general uneasiness. So how exactly is this accomplished?
Well, our intention with the piece, and I'm glad to hear that it worked, at least for you, was that we wanted to see if we could make the horror effect with just camera movement and sound. And the reason why is because Karen and I were kind of placed together in this collaboration without knowing each other previously, and I thought, oh gosh, I better really brush up on my horror because I'm now working with this horror filmmaker and I don't really know that much about the genre. So I just started watching films, and I noticed how much I was scared simply by the creepy camera around the corner, or, you know, you see like a very slow pan of a land, but nothing's happening. And we all know, I mean, often the acting is pretty bad in horror films too, right? So I thought, what if you could do away with the dialogue, the acting, and maybe even the story, and have just what's left, which is kind of the technical conventions. So it was an experiment for us to see if that would work. Whether they were scared. In some ways it doesn't matter because now we know that we are conditioned by that. And there are certain sounds. I even now sometimes watch films and I hear sounds that I know they're using the same sound library that I am for some of my films. Because it costs so much money to do Foley and to buy music, sound, get things scored, you know, so we often have to just draw from public domain sounds. And I think that's part of why they become so familiar, and we know that they're cues. Okay, now I'm supposed to be scared, or now I'm supposed to be sad. So it's hard to say, it's hard to answer that question. I think that certain sounds are very emotionally evoking, and I think some of the ones we used in The Pit are that way. They just are that way. Gordon, I think, are geniuses when it comes to their exhibition design and also their curatorial practice. I just think they're amazing impressed, and they did a good job at building these kind of corridors in the exhibition space, which make you feel maybe a little bit claustrophobic as you go around a corner, just like you would as a character in a horror film, right?
Can you tell us a little bit about the process?
Well, that's a good question.
How was it decided that The Pit would be voided of any actors?
We decided that
it's 10:30.
It was a bit of a challenge because Karen's used to working with actors, and I think she really enjoys working with actors. And I was just starting to switch over from being a performance artist. And this was my very first film project. And so, to be totally honest, I don't think I was completely comfortable with directing actors yet, because I was making that crossover, whereas Karen wanted to work with actors. In fact, she wanted so badly that she wanted me to be the actor in the film. And I was trying to step away from that kind of performance practice. So that was, in a way, sort of our compromise. I thought, we can make a horror film, just let's try it without actors and see what happens.
Although there's no plot in The Pit, viewers often create a plot while watching. Did you foresee your audience doing this?
I mean, that wasn't necessarily the intention. I think there's always good to leave some space of ambiguity in an artwork rather than trying to over-locate it so that I'm feeding you exactly what I want it to mean. So I'm curious what you thought the plot was of that film.
It seemed as though we were going somewhere or looking for someone, but then at the same time, it almost felt like the fear was coming from what was around the corner. So I didn't know if we were going to eventually, someone was going to be there, or if we were looking for someone, but we weren't sure if it was going to be gruesome when we got there. But there was this whole feeling of uneasiness and expecting throughout. And then it just, because the location itself is just so interesting around each corner and bend, you're just waiting, and then with the music really creating that suspenseful feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, that was the effect that we wanted, definitely.
So a lot of your work is very concept and parameter driven, including The Pit. Having parameters sounds as though it could almost be restricting. Can you explain how this is liberating for you as an artist?
I think one of the most beneficial things of having parameters, well, I suggest this to all artists, because when you're confronted with so many tools or so many ideas and you need to actually get something done, and I often have this with some of my art students, they have too many ideas. And the best way to get them making something is to say, well, let's limit your parameters. You can only work with one material. It can only be a certain size or a certain length if it's a moving image. And so I found that really useful for me as a student, now for my students, now that I'm a teacher. And so going forward, when I'm collaborating with other people, there's so much room for variables there, because you might have two different people coming from completely different fields. We bring all of our experiences and our expertise together, so you're at least doubling up on kind of the available material for making a piece. And so I think it's almost a requirement for me to be able to even just navigate that zone, to have these sort of limitations, to be able to bring something into reality, because otherwise it can just go too many different directions. So I find it's helpful to work within a structure, because then you don't have as many decisions to make. So the decisions you do make are almost more meaningful.
So within your field of video art, you're constantly collaborating, and even with The Pit, you've collaborated with Karen Lamb. So what does collaboration mean to you?
So collaboration to me isn't always a truly equivalent relationship. I think sometimes it can be, but I found in my own practice that I have taken on more of the role of a director, but not in a conventional way where you might see a director as having complete control and a complete and total vision, where they might be hiring all of their crew and their cast to do very specific things. I'd like to break that down just a little bit, and not to say that there isn't still a hierarchy, because at the end of the day, I might still be editing the work, producing the work, deciding where it gets shown and all this. But I like to leave as many kind of open spaces in the process as possible to let the people who are involved in the project bring their own creative agency to the piece. So I would say it's like directing with a collaborative kind of approach.
You describe a technique called structured improvisation. Can you tell us what that involves?
So I guess that's sort of a term I've given to this very style of directing that I've been talking about. And so it would be different for every piece. I think it depends on who I'm working with, what kind of performer I'm working with, for example. So say if I'm working with a dancer and we already have one location, we've maybe got two cameras, and I've got a certain gesture in mind that I want the dancer or the group of dancers to accomplish. I'm not a choreographer, so I'm not going to have a conventional relationship with that dancer, but I do know a little bit about dance and movement and performance, and I know what I want to see somewhat in the end product. So what I might do in order to generate content is I'll give a loose structure to the dancers, and it might be something like a list of general movements. Say, okay, I want you to either lurch or inch or crawl or linger, you know, I kind of give these prompts, but but I'm not telling them exactly how to move. I'm just telling them that this is sort of a structure you can work within. They're like prompts. And then from that point on, I say you can improvise within those prompts. And I've found so far that it's been really productive. And it's also, I think, more meaningful, I hope, for the performers, because they actually get to choose what they do somewhat. You know, they don't choose everything, but they choose quite a bit of the content of what it might look like.
So what's up next for you for 2016?
Well, the next thing will be I have a show at CSA Space, which is opening, I believe, on January 21st. And that'll be up until, I think, around the third week of February. And it's a solo exhibition where I'll be showing a film and also a book that's kind of a parallel piece to the film. It's going to be a very dark space again, much like The Scary. And right after that, I'll be moving back to Trinidad and Tobago, which is a place where I live part-time. And I'm starting my next film. So it'll be an experimental documentary that I have yet to secure funding for, but I'm going to shoot it nonetheless.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful location to do that, for sure.
Yeah, it is really great. And that's where part of my family is from. And so I have a pretty strong relationship with Trinidad and Tobago. And actually, the film itself is about a place called Marsden Pool, which is almost like a mythological place now, because it was a point in the river that's really close to my great-grandparents' house that's no longer there. But everyone knows about it. And everyone who meets me and finds out my last name, they say, oh, do you know Marsden Pool? And I don't. And so this film is actually kind of an experimental sort of discovery of that place that no longer exists. So that's the premise for the film. And I'll probably be working with a lot of the same performers that I worked with last time I was in Trinidad, doing some of these dance works and video works that I've done.
Cool. So. We'll definitely look out for that. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Thank you.
and crazy. Yeah, pouring bubbly, pouring bubbly, pour that bubbly, pour that bubbly, pour that bubbly. We done went through too much. Hear me? Pour that bubbly, train that muddy, train that muddy, but we covered it. Yeah, I'm covered in. I was dugging it, I just loving it. That's for the muffin'. That's for the other bitch. That ain't for you, dog. That's for the other niggas. That ain't for you, shot. That's for that other bitch. I'm going crazy about it. I'm going codeine crazy. That's how we living it. I'm feeling lovely. I'm drinking bubbly. I'm drinking bubbly.
Think I'm my problem to drink out the bottle and fuck on no matter, yeah. Out of my, this not a carnival, this is a royal old carny here. Don Perignon, I get down from a grown, I can show for the round. I pull up with my rounds, I pull up out of town. I corrupt your town with them girls and them pounds. I grew up on the grounds with them dealers and hounds. We order more bottles and fuck on more models and pass them around. I say everything triple time. Roll it AP, you blow triple time. I just know the ones to call upon. I just had to pay my dog a bond. Looking at me like a triple threat. Every time a nigga talk a check. Smoke the cushion like a cigarette. Running back to hear my internet. Celebrate like the championship. Celebrate like the championship. Celebrate like the championship. Celebrate like the championship. I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you. Don't tell me you sell the bed to the moon. I just went red the ruler with the jeweler. I just went sell the payin' like a goonin. I be diving niggas straight out the sewer. Like a loaded chopper, I'm about to shoot it. I'm so fucking sick and tired of these rumors. I just dive inside a cutie with spooners. Take it back and take a look at yourself. Take the lesson, put it all in the app. Too many days gone by. Sit by the phone, wait until I reply. Dry my eyes, believe it or not. I can never see a tear falling. Water dripping, I'll be lying on faucet. I just took a bitch to eat at Chipotle. Spend another $60,000 on the rolling. All my diamonds got your brainwashed. She saw my nigga got my brain washed. And for that shit, you got your man pop. See what they did to Biggie and Pop. Pour a little, liquor. Pour a little more liquor. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. Codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy. All this motherfucking money got me codeine crazy.
Drowning in activist suicide. When I hit the scene, it's homicide. Diamond pick a ring, a lollipop. Fuck the hate, I pull up in the drop. Diamonds colder than the glacier. Ballin' harder than the Pacers. I've been trying to have some patience. Told my mama she should pray on it. Told the streets to gotta wait on it. She gon' put a nigga name on it. I just dropped the whole thing on it. I'm making USDs overseas. It's US dollars that you can't achieve. But my white girl, she say, nigga, please. For that white girl, she said, nigga, please. Playing poker, now we back in stroke. I forgot her name, but her pussy soaking. When I seen her on the pole. Reminded myself when I used to come up. Reminded myself when I used to get loaded. Reminded myself that I'm still getting loaded. The cool fully loaded. This whip fully loaded. This whip fully loaded. The clip fully loaded. I try to control it. It's poppers and bottles. It's poppers and bottles. These niggas who bogus. It's poor propane. I'ma fuck around. Faint like I'm Kid Cudi probably. I fuck around faint, I'ma fall on a drink. Rockin' tough for a poppy molly. Married to this motherfucking money.
Codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy, codeine crazy. All this motherfucking money got me codeine crazy.
You thought I forgot about us? I know that you know I don't fold under pressure. I'm back on the road, I get low on the pedal. We live by the codes of the ghetto. I'm closing this out with my memo. I'm treating this shit like a demo. I'm putting my heart and my soul in this shit and some more. I'm in that Dolce & Gabbana. I might get out the Madonna. I get it crack in the summer. Strutting the lack in the Hummer. Friend of the paint in my pocket. All this lingo got a paint is to drop it. Fuck the fame, I'm sipping lean when I'm driving. All this cash in it ain't nowhere to hide it. I'm an addict and I can't even hide it. Don't you paint the panoramic companion. They was trying to serve me at the arraignment. Never coming on and never complaining. I'm taking everything that come with these millions. I'm taking everything to come with my children. Yeah, yeah.
Pour that bubbly.
Train that money, train that money, bro, we covered it. Yeah, I'm covered in. I was duggin' it, I just loving it. That's for the motherfucker, that's for the other bitch. That ain't for you, dog. That's for them other niggas. That ain't for you, shot. That's for that other bitch. I'm going crazy about it. I'm going codeine crazy. That's how we living it. I'm feeling lovely. I'm drinking bubbly.
Codeine crazy. Codeine crazy. All this motherfucking money got me codeine crazy.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Screen Girls on Air on 101.9 FM, broadcasted live from Vancouver. I'm Christina.
And I'm Sarah, and you just heard Future, Coding Crazy. And before that, we had Sick Girl by Abra. Really loving that song. I like, it reminds...
Is that dedicated to me?
Awkward.
Sick Girl?
Yes. Not that your sick voice isn't, like, endearing and charming, but I need you to stop talking like that now. I feel like you're transitioning back. I don't know if that's still PC to say, so I'm, yeah. So we've been talking about...
We've been talking about gender-neutral clothing a lot lately and whether or not it can and does truly exist. Do you think it exists, or can it exist?
I do think it exists. I think it can exist, but I think it needs to be fair, and it needs to really be gender-neutral clothing and not boys' clothes for girls in just colors, you know? Because you got to think, like, there's so much more than just colors when it comes to what we wear. There's cuts, and certain cuts don't work on...
And that's why I think a lot of lines fall short when they're trying to do that, because, like you said, they're focusing on one aspect, like, yeah, color. And silhouette is huge, because what works for a female is not necessarily going to work for a male, and vice versa. For example, if a guy's got... Men in general tend to have broader shoulders, and for me in particular, I've got small shoulders, so... The same sort of garments wouldn't translate necessarily for me to a menswear. And then same with, if you think about hips, you know, men typically have narrow hips. Women are curvier in the hips.
Some women have way bigger hips than other women as well, so.
Right, and so I think it always works, like...
It's beautiful.
I think the women can go more to the androgynous side, because it kind of depends on body shape as well, but you definitely have more boyish figures. You know, some there's such a spectrum, so some women have more boyish figures, and then they're able to sort of seamlessly transition into wearing more androgynous menswear-inspired clothes.
So I would say there's certain pieces, right? Pieces work. Sweatshirts, for example. I consider sweatshirt to be a very unisex thing.
Very gender-neutral.
Yes, but as far as an entire wardrobe, I don't know if you could have an entire...
And then what I'm always curious about is with button-down shirts, because button-down shirts, men and women shirts, if you look at them, button on different sides. And that kind of...
Mind blown.
Dates back, right? Now everyone's going to be looking at their shirts, see if they button left or right to left. But it was, you know, back in the day, the reason it is because back in the day when they were first starting all these sort of items, clothing, men's, women's, button-downs, women were typically dressed by their servants, you know, the upper class women, and their buttons would always be more decorative, so they would need help with them. So they would have their servants button their clothes, and they'd be right-handed, so it's the opposite. So it's just kind of something that's carried on through. So if you look at a button-down shirt, whether it buttons on the right or left, it's already assigned a gender.
You have to pick a side, right?
You have to.
At some point in your design, you have to say...
So maybe gender-neutral clothing only exists in certain sort of shapes, items, silhouettes. But there's this one writer for the National Post who is talking about how a lot of gender-neutral clothing that's out there right now is just simply devoid of feminine traits and then passed off as gender-neutral clothing. And if you look at The Gap recently had a line with Ellen DeGeneres. And it looks like just... boy clothes almost. We're not seeing little boys in, you know, t-shirts with unicorns on them or in... We're not seeing that. We're just seeing the feminine details removed.
And what I noticed about that commercial, and we are going to tweet out a link to the commercial, but it features girls in the clothes doing these, like, really cool things, like playing drums and, you know, and they're wearing, yeah, what feels like boys' clothes and maybe in traditionally boy roles. Drummer, I'm trying to think back.
They're doing
to
some math. Other,
doing math, that's what I was thinking
riding
about.
On their skateboards.
So it's kind of like, what exactly is the message that The Gap is selling?
We're seeing that little girls can be boys, but we're not seeing that boys can be girls.
Or is it like,
that's not
you
okay
can be
yet.
Anything, and by anything we mean even things that men do. So.
But it seems, in this article, it goes on to discuss how, you know, 100 years ago, up until age, you know, 6, little boys and girls would wear... little boys and girls alike would wear just white dresses because they were easy to bleach, and they wouldn't start dressing differently until after age 6. But I think, you know who does a really good job with gender neutral clothes right now? It's, again, Babies R Us. I think it's a lot easier to sort of keep that gender neutral clothing in more children's wear. With adults, you kind of get, that's when you get into, you know, our bodies are very different, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition's not quite there. But the way Babies R Us is doing it right now is like yellow and sort of like, you know, all your grays and that sort of stuff. Very like neutral type colors, it seems.
Yeah.
Not specifically blues and greens or reds and pinks, but...
I've had a few cousins popping out babies lately, and I've noticed at all of the showers where... they didn't know, or they didn't want anyone to know the sex of the baby, it was all oatmeal colors, like, you know, all
that's
that.
A popular, yeah. It goes into those oatmeals,
grays,
and those yellows,
beiges, creams, off-white,
neutral colors, yeah. For neutral clothing. But what's cool is Babies R Us has like these dressing gowns, and they're called baby gowns, and they're being marketed at both boys and girls, so they're doing a pretty good job with, I think, gender-neutral clothing. But when you just type in gender-neutral clothing into Google, one of the first hits is this company, Wild Fang, wildfang.com. But all it is it's clothing for girls, and they're basically saying they're female Robin Hoods raiding men's closets. So it's, you know, blazers, cardigans, wingtips, bowlers, so on and so forth. But it just, again, it's, they're doing that exact same thing. Like, girls can be boys, but we're not seeing yet that boys can be girls.
I would say shout outs to Rick Owens. I feel like
Rick Owens,
if we want to look at unisex, Rick Owens really, really gets it.
There's another designer, Canadian designer, Rad Hurani. He really gets it, and it's kind of the basis of his collection. And He was born in Jordan, and he's Canadian. And his whole sort of idea is, his vision is centered on the theme of neutrality and boasts different perspectives and approach to the world of media, sculpture, photography. So there's a very artistic sort of side to it, and you see it in his clothes in the sense that his clothes are meant to be worn in different ways, based on, you know, if you want perhaps a more feminine silhouette or a more masculine silhouette. So you see with a lot of the men wearing the clothes, things are unbelted and they're draped and they're looser. And then when they have the female wearing the exact same garment, it's belted, sort of showing off more of a feminine shape. So it's, and these are more tailored garments as well. So I think he's doing a really good job with it.
I love the look of those, for sure.
It's so clean. The clothes just look really beautiful and versatile. But even with the models themselves, he's choosing very androgynous-looking models. The women look quite masculine, the men look quite feminine. So he's really exploring this sort of idea of gender neutrality, I think, quite well.
And there's just been a rise in the whole unisex look, I feel like.
Definitely.
It's really taken off. But I think that... more people need to understand, because I see sometimes
comments that are left of, like, Northwest, who dresses very much in these colors we spoke about, like, oh, they're robbing her of, like, looking like a girl, and, like, you have a beautiful girl, why wouldn't you want to put her in, like, pink, you know? And then for Rick Owens, I feel like, you know, people are quick to say, like, oh, well, you know, I'm not gay, so I'm not going to dress like that. And that doesn't mean you're gay. It's just clothes that you're putting on your body. It doesn't speak to your sexuality.
Jaden Smith is a really good example of someone who gets it. He recently tweeted or Instagrammed a picture, and it was, the caption was talking about, oh, you know, gone to Topshop to get some clothes, to get some girls' clothes, and then, you know, crossed it out. I mean clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So pointing out, like, you know, guys can shop at women's shops. And Selfridges actually has removed all sorts of departments, men's and women's wear departments. So now the makeup is just a makeup department. It's not, you know, off of the women's department. It's, and the clothes are just as is.
That's awesome. It's so, very progressive. So that's been our show today. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday night. We'll be back next week, same time, 10 p.m. to 11. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at The Screen Girls, and you can follow CITR at CITR Radio on Twitter and at CITR 101.9 on Facebook. And yeah, we hope you have a really, really great kick-ass rest of your week. You called in the matter.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falundafafellowship.com.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Salam. Roozetun bekhair. My name is Sahan, the president of UBC Persian Club.
And this is Yasaman, the VP admin.
UBC Persian Club is a non-profit student organization with the goal of empowering the Iranian community at UBC by acting as a social hub for Iranian students, bringing together diverse members of the community who have a common interest in Iranian culture and nurturing and representing the Iranian community in Vancouver.
We have monthly member-exclusive events, Pelon, we screen documentary movies and short films by Iranian directors with English subtitles. Music gatherings, a series of casual music gatherings at which students can play different types of instruments, and sports events and game nights.
Our regular events are member exclusive and you will receive 25% discount on our annual events. You can visit us at ubcpc.com or email us through info@ubcpc.com.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.